It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world as the music plays behind me. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, and today I'm here to be the managing partner of your life, but I'm here with Lauren Savon. Nice to see you, Lauren.
Great to see you, Alan.
You are looking ravishing in that orange schleppy, I don't know
in my schmata.
Whatever it is.
You know, they keep it cold in here. It's hot outside, so I never know what to wear, so I always bring a sweatshirt. Isn't this exciting radio? We're starting off with a bang.
Well, people have to see that look. It's like it's a homeless
you're
look.
Not missing much. Yeah. Thanks.
It's okay. Anyway, you're not here I've seen you dress up and you look amazing, but today you are into our guests. I know you've been
both of them. Oh my God, both of them. I went on a deep dive through Instagram and TikTok, and both of our guests are like super cool influencers.
They're influencers.
I mean, because you're going to handle the legal stuff. You got the legal angle on them. I've got the likes on them.
And I think they actually know each other through some strange turn of events.
I feel like all those influencers hang out together at mixers.
I can't believe you're calling Alki David an influencer.
I mean, he's a lot of things, isn't he? He's so
a lot
many
of things.
Titles.
I don't know if he's an influencer or not, but David Haig definitely is. I mean, he has had a real storied career, and he has done so much for so many people, so many different causes. I want to introduce him now because I know he's in England, and he's probably tired and doesn't want to listen to me talking about the clothes you're wearing.
I know. He dresses like I'm on the wrong show.
David dresses impeccably, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
unbelievable. Everyone has to check him out. If you Google him, it's H-A-I-G-H.
He'd be horrified if he was here in person.
No, he wouldn't. He'd love it. He's been on the show before, and we're going to get an update on some of the issues that he's been dealing with. I just got a letter emailed to me from Taylor Wessing. He'll know what that's all about. So I got to ask him. I need some legal advice from David Haig. He's a British human rights lawyer, international crisis and media manager, philanthropist. He was the former managing director of the Leeds United Football Club and chairman of Leeds United Ladies Football Club, CEO and founder of the Sport Capital Group. He has done so much for so many people.
Please don't forget, he's one of the 50th sexiest people of 2020.
He is?
Yes.
What happened to 2021?
Maybe those didn't come out yet.
Oh, okay.
The year's not over.
So he was sexy before the pandemic.
That's right.
But we don't know
really.
We don't know what happened to him, you know, whether he got out or not. He's practiced law in the United Kingdom, the Caribbean, and Dubai, of course. He spent time in Dubai. In fact, he spent time in prison in Dubai, and he can tell us about that. He's been on the show before. Obviously, he is the man in the know is it Queen Latifah or Princess Latifah?
It's Princess Latifah.
I know he doesn't like
that. It's probably
that.
Easy to get confused. One's a queen, one's a princess.
They yeah. look a little different.
I'm sure he'll straighten us out.
And we have seen Princess Latifah, by the way, recently in pictures. So we got to
supposedly.
Ask, you know, we got to bring David in.
I know. Why are we yammering away?
David, welcome back to Gervie's Law.
Hi. Good evening to you guys. It's a very early morning.
We apologize for that.
Do you get up this early or did you get up just for us?
No, I've actually stayed awake. I was thinking, should I go to sleep or no? But I'll stay awake. It's an important thing to discuss, so it's very relevant.
You know, so I want to talk about some of the changes, and you can give a background because some of our listeners may not have heard you when you were on our show several months ago talk about Princess Latifah and the plight and what you've been doing as a freedom fighter for her. And then we'll talk about the update. But why don't you just give us a background so people who aren't familiar with the story, and I know you've said this so many times, you can do it in 2 minutes or less.
Well, I think almost a year ago since we spoke, probably a little bit longer.
Wow, time flies.
It does. And the letter that you mentioned is a good update, which we'll come on to in a moment. But a year ago, we were discussing what happened in 2018 in the middle of the Indian Ocean on an American registered vessel with an American captain, with an Arab princess, a Finnish European citizen and some Filipino crew, where essentially they were kidnapped at gunpoint and taken to the UAE illegally. Now, at the time, when we were discussing it a year ago, lots of people were still looking at the story thinking, this sounds very much like something of a Mission Impossible or a James Bond movie. But a lot has happened since then. And the positive thing that's happened is that when we last spoke, we didn't really know the fate of Latifa, but obviously now we do. We know that she is at the very least alive.
Right.
But then things were very, very different. But one of the things that we couldn't tell you a year ago is that myself, and I think you spoke to Marcus Asambri, her cousin.
Yes, we did.
And my someone that helped me with the campaign very much, and the friend of Latifa, a lady called Tina, has managed to actually smuggle a mobile phone into the jail villa of Latifa. Mm. And through that, we'd managed to gain a year and a half of videos, evidence, messages of exactly what was happening to her. And at the same time we were doing that, you had the UAE and various former world leaders such as Mary Robinson, former Irish president, who were kind of hoodwinked and tricked to basically effectively cover up a kidnap and some very bad things. Now, the release of the videos which we released earlier this year in spring changed an awful lot. What we saw was, for the first time in 3 years, we saw, for instance, our Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the then US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, talking about Latifa after 3 years of campaigning. So that was a significant moment for us. And then things since then have again changed quite significantly. And some of your listeners may have seen the US Today exclusive story about how the FBI, and that I think a couple of weeks ago, was also tricked, much like Mary Robinson, the former Irish president, by the UAE.
When you say tricked, what do you mean by that? Duped?
Well, duped. I mean, essentially, 3 years ago, the boat that they were all on was obviously in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and someone gave the location of that boat up to the UAE to enable them to essentially attack the boat, which has now been found to have been done by the English court and also by the United Nations, effectively illegally, and take back the people that were on that boat to the UAE. And obviously someone gave the location of that boat up, and it's now, according to, I mean, we knew this 3 years ago, but now according to a lengthy investigation of USA Today, which I think was 2-3 weeks ago it came out, confirmed that it was effectively the FBI.
Wow.
Wow.
I was going to ask you, David, has your work, and you've mentioned some of the people that have worked with you, do you believe it's had a direct impact? What we tried to do last time when we were on the show, we tried to get some of the information out, because disseminating this information is really important. And it seems, and we're going to get up to today's date, because I want to ask you about this letter, email that I received today. But it seems that people are, or were, at least in the last year, taking notice of what's going on in this situation. Do you believe it's from some of the things that you've been doing?
100%. I mean, I think, you know, when we look at where we were 3 years ago, you know, you had pretty much everybody that looked at the story thought, this can't be true. And the UAE in particular were putting out all sorts of stories about how this was all made up, how everybody involved was very bad, and how the UAE is very good. And then even involved, as I mentioned, Mary Robinson, a former Irish president and a former head of the UN, together with the then wife of Latifa's father, Princess Hira of Jordan. Now, Princess Hira of Jordan, I think a year and a half ago, basically also fled Dubai with her children in right. fear of her life over Latifa. And as we know, Mary Robinson, following the release of the videos that we put out earlier this year, said that her being duped, she was, in her words, horribly tricked by the UAE, and in her effectively what was a cover-up, because in December 2018, pictures of her together with Latifa appeared in the press, was the worst mistake of her life, her words. So, you know, since we last spoke, the media effectively, and every individual listening and every individual that spoke about this, has actually effectively saved someone's life and one would imagine changed history somewhat in the Gulf.
I'm assuming without that smuggled cell phone, we would not be having this conversation. Things would not have changed.
No, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and you would not have got that letter from this rather interesting law firm.
Now,
really quick question, though. When, you know, the UAE managed to dupe all these heads of state, I mean, these are smart, you know, bright people. They managed to dupe all of these heads of state, these, you know, international policymakers. The FBI, what is the agenda here? Why would they not do an investigation on their own? Why would they take the UAE's word for it, given the history?
I think there's lots of reasons in that. But, you know, when you look at Mary Robinson was, you know, certainly when I went to law school, kind of an icon of women's rights. She was the former head of the UN Human Rights Commissioner, the former president of Ireland. Mm. And for her to be so, I don't want to say easily, because I obviously wasn't there, but duped in the way that she was, effectively to be involved in the cover-up of a kidnap of not just an Arab princess, but international citizens, an American, a Finn, three Filipinos on an American yacht, you know, in full view of the world. For that to have happened, it's concerning when you look at how that can happen mm-hmm. and the types of countries that we in the West are having relationships with. You know, do we want to have a relationship with a country that is prepared to go to that length to cover up essentially the kidnap of the ruler's daughter?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and we want to talk a little bit about this letter. Did you know that we received? I don't know if you were copied or not. And basically, I'm going to talk after break. We have to take a minute break here. But were you aware of this letter, or are you going to hear about it for the first time?
I didn't know you got one, but we all got one about 7 weeks ago, which essentially asked us all to effectively sign agreements saying that we would never talk about Latifa again. We would delete all the evidence and nothing ever happened. Mm. Let's all move on. Nothing to see here. And since then, all the media that have talked about this have got letters which are no doubt fairly similar to the one that you've got.
All right. Well, I'll tell you a little bit more about it after the break. We need to take a break. We're talking to David Hague, and you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You call this music? What is this?
You don't know the song.
Led Zeppelin? But, you know.
Come on. Come on,
I get
Alan.
It. But, you know, we want to get something a little more upbeat and not listen to this long introduction. Come on.
You're in a bad mood today.
Well, listen to this. God, we're talking about some important issues. We don't want background music. We want it to be taken over. Art, come on, take over the...
Okay.
We're talking to David Hague, British human rights lawyer, and we're talking about Princess Latifah. Now, when you look up David Hague, it says that he, first of all, has a very accomplished career and he's worked for many international law firms. It also says that he has been identified by Princess Al Maktoum, Latifah, as her representative in her fight for freedom. So here's the representative for the fight for freedom. Yet today I get an email with a letter from Taylor Wessing, which I think David called a rather strange law firm, but I don't want to quote him on that. You can correct me, David, in a second. But the letter basically states that Princess Latifah, and I quote, has become aware of this evening's broadcast of Gervie's Law and is set to feature a member of the Free Latifah campaign about an update of our client. Princess Latifah, specifically regarding Gervie's Law broadcast tonight, has instructed her attorneys to write to us, meaning Gervie's Law, to make sure the following is clear. Taylor Wessing, are the only lawyers for her, no one else. Their client is free to travel. She recently traveled to three European countries. She met with a member of their firm when she was traveling and no other lawyer. She asked a close friend to post pictures of her when she was in Madrid. And her statement is that she recently visited three European countries on holidays with her friend and that she asked that her post that she post a few photos online to prove to campaigners that she can travel whenever she wants. She also hopes to live in peace without further media scrutiny and thanks everyone for their kind wishes. It doesn't say thank you, David Hague and the Freedom Fighters. What's up with this, David? Please tell us what I should make of this Taylor Wessing letter, which is from Neary Sean, who is apparently an attorney there, or a lawyer, or a barrister, solicitor, whatever you want to call them in England, Taylor Wessing.
Well, it's. I mean, this is probably the first time that we've talked about it, certainly that I've talked about it as directly as I am now. And, you know, in February, obviously, you know, back since 2018 when the boat was attacked, we were working to campaign for the freedom of Latifa and everyone else on the boat. We managed to smuggle a phone into Latifa into her jail in 2019, and Neary Sean and Taylor Wessing were nowhere to be seen. We were all effectively working on the instruction, the direct instruction of Latifa, and until effectively May. And it was very interesting, May. One of the things that we did is that we filed, you're familiar with the Magnitsky legislation that you have in the US. We have similar right. ones here in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And together with the support of Bill Browder, we filed a very powerful request to sanction effectively her father and a bunch of other people in the UAE who have done some very bad things. And that followed the UN coming to a conclusion after a 3-year investigation that Latifa needed to be A, released, B, immediate essentially confirmation of her safety and well-being. And also it followed a very embarrassing time at Kentucky Derby, you know, in spring
right.
this year, where it was pretty a horrible time for her father. So really lots and lots of pressure. So we filed this very detailed, very powerful request for sanctions. And a few hours later, we get a letter from this law firm who we believe, and we've asked them, and they've not denied it, also act for the father and one of the other people accused in the English High Court of kidnap. So the kidnapped and the kidnappers. Now, we were basically told at the time from this law firm, from a generic email address, don't talk any more about this. We will be in touch. And then a few days later, we also received increasingly quite threatening letters asking us to never, ever speak the word Latifa again, to delete everything that we had. And that included, certainly in my case, details and evidence of serious criminal acts, not just in the UK, but also in elsewhere in the world, which, of course, as a lawyer, you can't do. As anyone, you can't do that. So for the last, since that was the end of May, since then, we've been going backwards and forwards, making points to them. And what they've been trying to do, and bearing in mind they have an office in Dubai, is essentially silence the media, silence everyone else, and make the world look elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, though, is it legit or what?
Well, it doesn't sound legit. I mean, this sounds shockingly similar to the Britney Spears situation.
It is something like
that. The lawyers are representing both, you know, both parties here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. David, is this legit or is this just, is this firm being paid off by Latifa's father?
Well, the thing that we said to them was very clearly, prove to us that you are instructed by Latifa and she is under no duress whatsoever. Now, as a law firm, presumably, that's something that you would do in any event. If you were a proper law firm, you would check those facts, considering the very troubling and very public history of this, where a UK High Court judge has found that this Latifa and her sister and also her stepmother suffered horrific abuse. And in terms of Latifa, were kidnapped and very terrible things happened. That's a High Court judgment in England. So when you've got all of that background and you look at the country being found, Mary Robinson's own words, worst mistake of my life, horribly tricked. Surely a law firm would be able to prove such a simple thing as acting under free will. And of course, it's quite right for anyone involved to think, well, no, you need to prove this to us. After everything that's happened, after 2 decades of someone trying to leave the country, you can't just come along now and say, nothing to see here, everything's fine.
Right.
Go away and be quiet.
But that's why I'm wondering, I'm sorry to cut you off there, David, but I'm wondering, when these photos came out that she was in the Madrid airport, she's traveling with a friend, according to this statement, she's traveled to 3 countries. Do we believe that?
Well, 1 minute. I mean, if you look at the videos that were released in spring, you see videos of someone saying they're a hostage, suffering very, very terrible things. You see a UN judgment after 3 years of investigations, coming to those conclusions. You see Boris Johnson, Anthony Blinken, Mary Robinson, and countless other world leaders all expressing concerns after a very long campaign, even a high court judge, like I said, in England, coming to conclusions of kidnap. And all of a sudden, we see a few contrived pictures usually blank Instagram accounts saying nothing to see here. And then we go back to the Mary Robinson pictures 3 years ago, and we now look what Mary Robinson said 3 years later. If everyone believed the Mary Robinson pictures 3 years ago, where would we be now? Now, if the chief is fine, happy, fantastic, that's what everybody wants. But why can't this law firm and why can't Dubai allow her to speak for herself?
Has she tried to contact you or any of the other people working with you? Or according to this letter that I got from Taylor Wessing, she's only speaking to them. Is that something that you believe is accurate?
Well, one of the things that this law firm says to us is that, well, she's speaking to her cousin. And one of the letters that I was sent, or maybe two, I can't remember, was faxed and copied, had it what looked like a signature that said Latifa on it. I mean, after the history of what has happened, if that's the most that they can achieve, it's very, very worrying. I mean, you have a world leader, a former world leader, Mary Robinson, saying she was horribly tricked, made the worst mistake of her life by covering up a kidnap. So surely for us, we should ask the questions that we're asking right now. And it should be fairly simple for a law firm to be able to say, of course we checked all of these things. Here's the evidence.
You have this judgment from the court in London. You have this international attention. You have, the campaign has gained ground. Obviously, people are talking about it. So what now? What does the international community do about this? What can be done about this? As a human rights lawyer, who gets investigated or brought up on charges?
In other words, do we just listen to Taylor Wessing and Mary Shan and say, okay, everything's all right here?
Well, not even that, but I mean, there's obvious crimes regardless who's claiming to be her lawyer.
That's what I want to hear David address. It's a good question because, what do we do now? And is it something that people should be turning their heads on and say, okay, everything's fine? To me, it just doesn't sound right.
No. Well, I mean, that's exactly what we did. When we first got those letters and for the last kind of six, and as I said, this is one of the first such discussions we've had with media. We gave Taylor Wessing and effectively the UAE, for want of a better phrase, the benefit of the doubt. And all we asked was, we said to them, look, the only thing we care about is that this young woman is safe now and in the future. We don't care about anything else. And all we're asking you to do is prove that to us.
Yeah.
Presumably you've done those checks. They have failed to do so. And
so what is your course of action?
Simple. Well, I think, one of the things is that the United Nations, after their three-year investigation, came to the conclusion, that was many working groups, but including the working group on enforced and involuntary disappearances, this is something that's in their expertise. They are used to countries doing exactly what we've seen, these kind of stunts, everyone's fine, nothing to see here, wheeling someone out. And then later they vanish.
Right, exactly.
So we're looking to the international community, the UN, and people with that level of expertise to actually look into this in more detail.
But do they have any teeth? I mean, Jamal Khashoggi, these these countries can say whatever they want to say, but I want to know if anything can be done. Can you hold them to the fire in any way?
Well, I think if you look at the history of this 3 years ago, where we were 3 years ago and what's happened now, and it's not just the UN. I think it's, to be honest, mostly the media, but the UN played a very big role. The UAE reacted to what the UN, at the end of April, asked for those three things, proof of life, they asked for independent verification that she's fine, and immediate release. A month later, what do we have? All of those things, but the independent kind of verification of well-being. And so I think, it's alone, the UN, I don't think, has that much power. But I think backed by the media and politicians, which we saw.
So it's incremental.
Actually had an effect.
Yeah.
It had an effect. But the question is, like you said, where do we go now? I mean, we have been, given everybody the benefit of the doubt, but it is becoming quite concerning. And at the end of the day, the other thing to remember, even if in absolute positively that he was fine, happy and amazing, that doesn't excuse what happened over the last 3 years.
Right.
Yeah. Rulers of countries broke the law in England on American yachts. And it wasn't just Latifah that was kidnapped at gunpoint and put in secret jails and abused. It was other international citizens.
And I think that story will continue. I think it's an excellent point, and I appreciate you making it. And when you talk about that independent proof or something that would make you feel more comfortable, it doesn't seem to be there yet. And we appreciate, David, the update. We have Alki David waiting in the wings. David, Alki David, real quick question for you. What is the relationship with you and Alki? And I know you guys know each other.
I mean, I'll tell you really quickly. I mean, as we've seen with as I mentioned, the FBI, Mayor Robinson, and various other people, lots of people that should have helped Latifah at the time and later didn't. And there was one American lawyer who I won't name. If Alki wants to, that's up to him. But who was meant to be assisting Latifah and wasn't. And we needed an American lawyer because it was an American boat. There was an American captain there. We knew at the time there was involvement of American mobile phone companies, potentially the FBI, all of those things. And so this person was meant to help. We all signed agreements with them, and they didn't. So to be frank, I looked at people. I Googled the name of this lawyer and looked at for law firms that were acting against this person on other issues. And I found Alki. I was on a train to London once very early in the morning, and I messaged him on Instagram and said, can you help? And he messaged me straight back, and he's been helping since.
Great.
I can't wait to hear Alki's
David, thanks so
David,
much.
David, hey, thank you so much.
For
and
being
the
with us.
Free Latifah campaign continues.
We appreciate it. All right, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Wow, I hate hard rock. Art, I don't know how much you're going to...
He hates all music.
No, I don't. I don't know how long you're going to last on my show if you keep playing this garbage.
Wow. Shaking in his boots.
He looks like it. Yeah. He's shaking. It's our first time. We were virgins. One guy that isn't a virgin is Alki David.
What an intro.
Alki was on hold. He wanted to come on and talk to David Haig. But, we need to do the proper introduction. He is a billionaire, and he will make no bones about it. He's accomplished a lot in his short life. He's getting older. Majority shareholder of the Leventis David Group, which owns Coca-Cola, Hellenic bottling plants in 28 countries. His companies include Filmon, home shopping website, all kinds of battle cam. He's done so much in the media and TV. And he was instrumental in getting David's story about Princess Latifah out to the world. And Alki was supposed to be here in person, but he's stuck in Malibu. Alki, you disappoint me once again.
I'm so sorry. I'm deeply disappointed that I missed David. I heard everything that he said. I was waiting. Loyally by because I think he's a wonderful guy and I wanted to support him. There was a lot that he didn't say. If you want to find out more about this really incredible individual, if you go to YouTube and look up the runaway princess or Princess Latifah.
Alki, I got to ask you something. You got all this money. Can't you buy a normal phone that we can hear you properly?
You got some earbuds or something?
How's this? Is that
better.
Any better?
Thank you.
Now you're that.
I had it resting on a. That was a McCaw in the background. I had it resting. On the charger. That's why it was.
You have a great radio voice. Not so much the face, but the radio voice is great. And
I have an amazing face.
Oh, you do. You look young.
I mean, one of your titles, which Alan failed to mention, was social media influencer. Because I went down a deep dive today on your Instagram, and wow, exciting stuff.
No, you need to look at TikTok.
Well, yeah, I was TikTok. On both, to be fair.
You need to look up Layla Q. If you remember Alan, Layla Q.
Oh, Layla. She is looking gorgeous. I don't know.
She's got 2 million followers. She's such a manifester. She's got 2 million hardcore followers now on TikTok following her antics and mine in the background.
Yeah. You know, you've done a great job, and you know, I miss seeing Layla. She's beautiful, and I know I have so many friends that follow her. Ever since you were on this show, you get more and more followers because it really is. It's just fun. It's become an obsession.
Yeah, we have huge TikTok fans listening to this show right now.
Wow. Well, TikTok, you know, TikTok is what in Beijing?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, we need to get your cameras in here. So, you know, I think Lauren would really.
I have to mention something.
Go ahead.
KABC has swung politically rather radically in the last few months. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I did.
Of course.
Why is that?
Well, I think people are waking up to the fact that they've been had by the Chinese Communist Party, but I won't go there.
You're giving KBC too much credit. By the way, I haven't visited you out there. Is your house up for sale or something?
Look, I developed this house. I was fed up paying all these famous people money from renting their homes. That, you know, living 5 years on this beach, I thought, you know, time to, you know, own a piece of land. And I intended to flip it. And if somebody wants to pay... forgive, we have birds. We have a lot of birds.
Yeah, you do.
So many, you know, a lot.
Your birds appear to be overweight on Instagram, or are they just they're happy and well fed?
They're rescues. They're rescues that never learn to fly. Only one flies. The one that we brought up from a baby. None of them fly. They're all damaged. You know, hurt birds that we saved.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
So the fact that they're fat is a miracle.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So tell us about the house, though. Are you getting rid of it?
No. I mean, unless somebody pays, you know.
What are you asking?
$28.5 million.
Would you take 20?
That's ridiculous.
You've made a good profit on it. You're a good business man, you know, buying that house.
But listen, Alan, if you came out to Malibu, you'd see the majestic development that's happened here, because this is a fully off-the-grid house now. You know, I mean,
well, you haven't invited me. Are your kids there? My kids would love to come play with your kids.
Well, they just left, and nobody's going to play with my children, Alan, okay?
All right. Well, they just left. You should have invited us over. You know, we were a little afraid to come out there with the COVID thing, but things are opening up and we wanted to come out and meet
the
kids.
Don't you know we're going back into lockdown again?
I've
Can't
heard.
You smell it? Can't you smell it?
Yes.
We can.
They're going to try it again. This time, I don't think people are going to be so patient.
No one will follow them. I mean,
speaking of smell, let's talk a little bit about some of these.
I can say this on radio. F it.
Yeah, don't say the
Careful.
Real word.
I won't say the real F word. Or
we have our fingers
but
ready.
I would just suggest I'm feeling okay.
Yeah. You know, we want to get to some of these stories, you know, you're involved with. Give us an update. I know I read some of the legal papers that you're a very, very capable attorney. Mr. Heather has filed.
What's your beef with Lisa Bloom? Hello?
Is he swearing?
Oh, no, maybe he's just speechless.
It's the cannabis.
One of those macaws probably.
Oh, you're back. What happened to you?
No, I'm here. Oh. I'm okay. Here.
You know, you Alki, next time you got to come into the studio. You were in a dead space.
I mean, if a billionaire can't get good service on his phone, this is so worrying for the rest of us.
It's Malibu.
Good service. No one.
You got to come in studio. That's, you know, we have no problems with the mics here. I mean, I regardless of the political leanings of this station, they have mics that work.
Listen, let's go back to what Fred Heather wrote.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And yeah.
Not just Fred. The whole research team at Glass of Wild and my team, we spent a year and a half putting together every S-bag criminal thing that Allred and Lisa Bloom have done towards, because I've been vocal and so obstreperous in my attitude towards them, have continually hand over fist through their greed, ultimately, and their criminal stupidity, have created this massive, you know, mess for themselves of criminal fraud against the courts, changing. And the list goes on. I mean, if you can imagine the most extraordinary list of awful things that somebody could do, multiply by 10, you're there.
But I have to ask you, on the Chastity Jones case, isn't it on appeal? Because I was reading the motion for sanctions.
Well, we don't even know what is the case. It's a sexual harassment case against your company or your employees?
No. So there are a series of cases. There are a bunch of cases, all orchestrated by Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred, with a couple of really criminal ex-employees and two really sort of mentally unwell ex-employees.
Be careful, you might get sued for that.
No, you know, I hope so. I hope so. But no, this is where we're at today. To answer your question, Alan, about if it's on appeal, it is on appeal, however, and not a penny has been paid. And
right.
However, what has happened is that during the financial discovery, it's called, in the settlement court, right?
Right.
I have kicked up such a fuss. They're zealous and actually now criminal collector, a guy called Joseph Chora. He runs some operation in Van Nuys, and he's a collector. And, he sent some guy to the house to serve me papers that had already been served so that the guy could break into my house. He broke into my house. I ended up grabbing this guy and throwing him out of my house. What happened is that he has gone also across jurisdiction and caused problems for me. So now I'm suing him and Lisa Bloom from abroad, which is great. But in the U.S., we have their criminal operation, and I are involved. I'm on the wrong side of the angels right now. All of the cases are being put on hold because people are starting my motion to dismiss. You've read it, haven't you?
I've got it in front of me. I read it this afternoon. My busy schedule, I took the time to read it. There's a lot of allegations. We can talk about after the break. We need to take a break, and then we'll talk more about the allegations and what you think is going to happen, because I know you have some ideas about that. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes. Hitting a home run. Now we're talking.
Oh, boy.
We're getting moving. I actually know this song.
Is this Stacey Q?
No, who is it?
Exposé.
Exposé.
Wow. Bringing us back, Alan.
There's no lyrics, though. I wanted to hear... Okay, all right.
No, you know the words.
I do know the words. I used to be a DJ. I was a DJ on a cruise ship for Princess Cruises many years ago. Yeah, and I also took my clothes off. I was a stripping DJ, and we have video. Yes, and the song that I was famous for was Boom, 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 Let's Go Back to My Room. We could do it all night. Anyway, I digress. Alki.
What a transition you made in your career. That's remarkable.
You know, I did this long ago when I was a stripper on a cruise ship and I was a DJ. I didn't get sued for anything.
Amazing.
I mean, I went and I actually juggled my shoes when I was taking my clothes off and no one sued me.
Before cell phones, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Why did you get sued so much with all these employees?
Well, first of all, I speak with a silly, plummy English accent. And I'm a target, I always challenge. If I'm a target, then I will normally challenge anybody who might sort of put me in their crosshairs.
But do you have no fear? You have no fear of Gloria Allred, who's very powerful, of Lisa Bloom, her daughter,
Gloria
who's very powerful.
Is not very powerful. Gloria Allred, I'll tell you, Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom are both
be careful.
Profoundly honest people, in the sense they are willing to arbitrarily damage
entire organizations and people arbitrarily on purely a financial gain, and that means say anything, do anything, completely on, you know, with seemingly little conscience, and you know, to me, I my name is very, very important to me because it represents my late father who passed away some 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And to me, it's really important that I maintain my family name and as best as I can. You know, it's been somewhat damaged, you know, considerably damaged. But you know, you say I have no fear. I mean, we all have fear, Alan. I mean, you know, Lauren said that you transitioned. I have to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But Alki, you know, I see what you're saying here, because regardless of the accusations, I mean, just the fact that Gloria and her daughter Lisa are on board, you know, kind of signifies that there's some wrongdoing there. And you're saying that these allegations are completely false, and they are.
They are accusations in a climate where you allege something before you prove something. Somebody, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to what you can allege rather than what you can prove. At least that was the climate. I think it's somewhat changed since. However, you know, these two people have orchestrated a system within the mosque courtroom to change paperwork, to change witness lists, to do things that, you know, are all listed in that motion to dismiss. Alan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Reading that motion to dismiss, if everything that is in there were true, what would it say about Lisa Bloom then?
Well,
if
you know, you're talking about procedural issues, and there's a lot in here that talks about things that were not done or were not were alleged to be inaccurate. So we see it all the time that it's not necessarily the substance of the case, but it's form over substance. So it begs the question as to whether you believe, if the wrongdoing is as your attorney says it is, and I don't want to say you because it's written by your attorney, and there are sanctions in order, how does that affect what really happened with respect to the award that was provided at the trial level?
I didn't understand the question.
Yeah,
at all.
You lost me too.
Well, I'm talking.
But to answer the last bit of your question, what happened to the award at the trial?
Well, it's been appealed, correct?
Yeah, it's been appealed.
But why, I'm saying, why isn't the misconduct part of the appeal, the substance of this suit versus this motion that talks about sanctions and.
Well, I mean, obviously it will be. Obviously, it will be. But listen, the thing is, this motion, there are two extremely credible, because originally they were accusers, very credible witnesses,
right,
to say that Bloom coerced them to lie. All right, I represented myself against one of the accusers in court, right? And it was 8-4 in my favor, because in my bombastic way was able to prove that there was a fraud going on, and that's why the Elizabeth Taylor case was dismissed.
So I think the Elizabeth Taylor one. The Elizabeth Taylor. And I think what you're saying is that it undermines the allegations when these things that you're alleging take place, correct?
It undermines whose allegations?
The Elizabeth Taylor, Chastity Jones, whoever else.
It undermines the allegations.
It undermines their claims.
Right.
Well, of course it does. Of course it does. I mean, I'm defending myself. Listen, I have no choice but to completely decimate Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred, because they are criminal people. Ladies and gentlemen listening to this, in Los Angeles know this. No, actually, they pervert the court of justice all of the time. That there are untold stories and lawsuits and fines against these people. That in a system where which is so corrupted.
Yeah, well said.
Everyone in L.A. knows how corrupt the system. If you're a lawyer in L.A., you know how bent the system is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fighting that myself. You know, we gotta close out, but I think you're right. I think the bottom line is when you're dealing with a corrupt system, sometimes you need people like you to stand up
right,
to it.
That have-
to-
yeah, but here's a good thing. Here's a good thing. The good thing is that the system is built in such a way, but it's fortunately, I'm fortunate I can fight these people, but the system is there is a catch. There is, you know, if it's going to the Supreme Court, so be it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you have some faith in it. I'm not sure that it's as just as you say it is. But, of course, we wish you all the luck. And keep us updated. Thanks for coming on, Alki. We always love having you here.
Good luck.
We're going to come and visit you, Lauren and I.
That's right.
Take it easy. Well, that's going to do it, Lauren. How was your first experience with Alki?
Yeah, I would have liked to see him in person. I'm sure he's more exciting when every third word isn't dropped, but
I got it. Don't worry.
That was exciting.
I'm on it. All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Alan, as usual.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
We're going to see you next week.
You bet you.
All right. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.